this evening, we're going to do a review of the happenings last year at the society meeting. At the bottom of each slide, the item of CP Chapter appears. This is taken from 2 Timothy 2:2, which states, "And since the power certainly on many witnesses, the same thing is thou, to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." If for some reason a quote cited violates, abuses, or misrepresents the context in which it was given, please notify this writer. The name above this statement belongs to the one who made it. I need the help of newly inaugurated president, whoops, and deans of schools of higher learning. If you've recently taken new administrative responsibility, then I urge you to develop immediately a position on the preservation of God's Word. Now this year is a kind of an introduction to what happened last year. This is an open letter of a sort to deans and college presidents who are new to that position, say, within the last several years. And we're asking for their help. We want to have some type of friendly relationship with them if possible. It's possible they could change. Possible they could change. Currently, this old issue, clothes with new clothes, falls under the category of high criticism. It is just as deadly as the inerrancy issue of the early 20th century. I trust that you will find some discomfort with the statement, "The Bible contains the Word of God."
Right.
You should also have the same discomfort with the statement, "God did not promise to preserve His Word." It is likely that your school's doctrinal statement, in your school's doctrinal statement, there is a reputation against the phrase, "The Bible contains the Word of God." If you fail to act now, then you will destroy a generation of young Christians, and by the time your successor follows you, if you have recently taken an administrative, higher criticism, if you fail to act now, then you will destroy a generation of young Christians, and by the time your successor follows you, your school will be further down the road to ruin. I understand how no one likes to be criticized. This issue is a biblical issue, not a political one. It is one that falls under the umbrella of higher criticism, that is the issue of Bible preservation. Assemble your advisors and ask them what happened in churches and schools around the world when men started claiming that the Bible contains the Word of God. What did they do? They left. Many schools like this started leaving. Politics and the ways of thinking take place for much of their life. It was hard for them. They left and made their views known. Yes, there was a cost. I'm asking you to pay the cost and make your views known about preservation. What would the founders do if they were still administrating? More than likely, the peers of the founders of the institution of which you now administrate certainly would have vigorously opposed such a statement. That is, the statement God did not promise to preserve His Word. The politics and the circles within which you are, which you move, is pushing you to agree or remain silent. But you cannot remain silent. You must lead the charge and fight for what you believe, Scripture teaches. If you believe that God did not preserve His Word, then fight for that view. And if you believe that He did, then fight for that view. And it should not necessarily just be made known in the back channel, is what I'm saying. The view is made known in the back channel, but put it on the front channel. Put it out front. So everyone can see it. Let me ask you, does agreeing with error or not signing along against it sound like something early non-conformant like those in the founding generation would have done? This is a pivotal issue that not only will destroy your school, but all the churches your graduates pastor. You cannot sit in silence. Please make your position clearly known. This is not a dispute about the 7% discrepancies among the texts. It is about the preservation of either of the texts. This is a pivotal issue that cannot be ignored. If you fail to act now, either you or your predecessor will be at the helm when the school begins to entertain other aspects of our criticisms and deviations from sound doctrine. Logically, by your romancing the idea that you do not have to have a copy of God's preserved word, your post supporting the concept that the Bible was written by mere humans, no inspiration. This will lead to questions of authenticity of fact. Please let your students know what your view on Bible preservation is, and not just in the classroom, in the chapel service. Please think that you need to be a historian and mathematician to figure out the implications behind this statement. Please think 78 years into the future when men of your great grandchildren's generation are leaving the school you now lead. In addition to the proceeding, that statement, that the open letter of a source of genes and college presidents, please consider the following. And this is when we start reviewing last year's meeting. If you mix fundamentalism with liberalism, you get neo-evangelicalism. Mix neo-evangelicalism with fundamentalism, and you get pseudo-fundamentalism. These are pseudo-fundamental schools. A doctrinal statement or creed are meaningless unless supported by God's word. If one doesn't have God's word, the creed cannot be deemed trustworthy, and consequently, man set adrift at sea without a rudder or a sail. Denial of verbal preservation is nothing more than a form of existentialism. The apostate brought the vision with this new Greek text of 1881, and the neo-fundamentalist brought this issue up, dividing fundamentalism in the middle. It is better to divide because the truth is to be united in error.
Right.
United Bible Society has been apostate from the beginning.
Right.
If the word of God is preserved in the totality of ancient manuscripts, how can it be God's word in our hands? You can't go to the far-flung fields of the world and read God's word. We believe that God has preserved his Hebrew and his Greek words and the most accurate translation of those preserved words in the King James Bible. It is my opinion that Erasmus, and I know from reading concerning him, that as he traveled around Europe, he was always looking for manuscripts of the Bible and he carried along what he could call a notebook, and he would write down concerning the variants and what those particular manuscripts had about them and note the manuscript. During the first 300 years of Christianity, tens of thousands of Christians were martyred by the pagan leaders of Rome. One of the things we found from working with Muslims was not to attack Islam, and you give them a Bible, to leave a Bible with them, there it is. But if you leave a Bible in your home, after you leave, they will read the Bible, and everyone of the 12 that we were dealing with in Amman, Jordan, I got to say that if someone had loved the Bible, that's the power of the Word of God. That's what people need today. Both the believers and those who have yet come to knowledge of Christ. Loyal to anything other than the preserved Word of God, so admirable can be detrimental.
Right.
Sin will keep you from the Bible. The Bible will keep you from sin. I have heard that future generations of GBS will continue to hold the same firm stand on the inspiration of the Bible we hold today. The Word of God exists in heaven before it was written here on earth, and it's always been a settled issue in heaven. People may be unsettled down here, but it has always been settled in heaven, in the mind of God, the very Word of God that we need, and that will work effectively in those who believe, has always been a settled issue in heaven. This is continued on. It comes to earth just like the living Word. Jesus pre-existed his coming by means of the virgin birth. So the Scripture pre-existed their coming by means of inspiration. What was written in the Bible was no surprise to God. He had already worked that out long before and had settled it in heaven. It is a stress that most of the authors of these books are professors and teachers of our children. In this nation and other nations around the world, there is no antithesis between the written word and the incarnate word. None. That means there's no absolute distinction. There's no difference between the Word of God written and the Word of God incarnate. For the past 200 years, theological liberalism has been a system of unbelief that questions, denies, and directly attacks the foundational tenets of New Testament Christianity. The inconsistency and misinformation about the Bible text in the mission field is overwhelming. In Brazil, one of the largest mission fields in the world, many fundamentalist missionaries are adopting the wrong position on the Bible issue and using a wrong Bible translation based on the critical text. The present hour demonstrates a gradual attempt to reconstruct the once demolished philosophical bridge between moral criticism and higher criticism. Inspiration was the process by which God gave what He had in heaven to us here on earth. Just as He gave us His Son by the process of the birth of the Word, He gave us the Word of God by the process of inspiration. That was the process by which God took what was forever settled in heaven and moved it down to have it recorded here on the face of the earth. That is inspiration. The New Testament connects ecclesiology and bibliology. The same institution that baptizes and the same one that teaches is the same one that is to guard all things. That is the local church. This world is indeed big trouble in every way, and we cannot afford to have our own people think that they have a Bible that is filled with errors for error. We find a modern commitment to lies in our day. Church historian William Blackburn writes, "No legalized institution, the Roman Catholic Church, has ever done more to church intellectual and religious liberty or added more to the unspoken miseries of human race. Every layman daring to possess a Bible, now at first forbidden to the laity, by this council was in terror of the wrath, the dungeon, and the stake." They didn't want you to have a Bible back then, and they don't want you to have a Bible today, it doesn't seem like.
Right.
This issue is not only in English-speaking countries, it is everywhere. If you're involved in missions using the King James Bible, doesn't solve all your problems. It was there at the beginning. I want you to see that God had His Word in heaven long before He had it here on earth. That is important to understand because that will help you to understand what the process of inspiration really was. Now, the way it's implied in the quote, there's something supplied by me. It's Dr. Lamour's law. That there is an almost invariable historic law that evangelistic movements become less separatistic in the second generation. In today's culture, a few churches attempt to hold the absolute standard of Scripture. God's Word is seldom taught correctly, nor is it taught thoroughly. You must make every effort must be made to teach God's people God's Word.
Right.
If these two doctrines, ecclesiology and bibliology, are indeed very closely connected, I would contend that if you are weak on one doctrine, namely ecclesiology, it will to various degrees influence the other doctrine. I am of the view and of the opinion that Alexander Egypt in the 3rd and 4th century AD would be analogous to Rome and the Vatican in the later centuries. That was its apostate spiritual influence in that early stage of church history. Another thing that has been impressed upon us is the lack of parental concern about the places where their young people will be educated. And time is perhaps a time when education should take place locally. What's in the seminary today will filter down to the pulpit.
Right.
If you're going to translate, going back to that for one moment, historically, you're taking history classes, if you study the trends of the times, at one point in time, it was said that Europe, the U.S., North America, is 20 years behind Europe. And that's probably, we're still following. If you look at Europe, that's where North America is headed. That's where they're headed. And we keep on repeating errors of the past, where would one suppose they're going to end up?
Right.
Making the same old mistakes.
Right.
You have to have something completely different. Completely different. Educate the children locally, the young adults locally, in the home church. And it'll be a good exercise for them, a good exercise for the pastors. If you're going to translate, you must take God's word and move them over word by word, the word in another language. You must make sure that the meaning carries over and linguistically fits. If you have learned another language, you will know that the word order is not always important in the same sentence. When the major textual editors of the critical text have identified themselves with the theory of evolution, German rationalism, the World Council of Christian Churches, Unitarians, and the Roman Catholic Church, in the view of this writer, that is Dr. Sorensen, they have caused offenses contrary to sound doctrine. Horst says, textual purity as far as can be judged from the extant literature attracted hardly any interest. There's no evidence to show that care was generally taken care of to choose out for transcriptions the exemplars having the highest claims to be regarded as authentic, if indeed the requested knowledge and skills were forthcoming. Now, brethren, can there be any question that one can work with theological liberals? They clearly dabble in the occult. They recommended Charles Darwin, and when he wrote, they publicly stood with a blatant Unitarian who denied the deity of Christ, and if the principle of separation is the cornerstone of fundamentalism, how can any fundamentalists have anything to do with them?
Right.
They're infidels, heretics, and theologians who banded together to try to destroy the Word of God. There was an infidel in France who made an effort to try to destroy every Bible in the country of France. The humor of the point is that after his death, his house was purchased by the French Bible Society for their headquarters. He thought he was going to do one thing, but God turned it around and made it almost a laughingstock. As it relates to the text issue, it is important for you to not primarily to be a fundamentalist, but to be a church member that guards all things. If you're a pastor of the local church, your responsibility is to guard all things. We have a generation who are not interested in starting with God's word, but they want to start with some other text, like West Patton Hort text. They were heretics. They denied new birth. They believed in infant baptism. They believed that worship of Mary was the same as worshiping Jesus. They were spiritualists. They were members of the Ghostly Society in England. They were revolutionists. They were socialists. They hated American democracy, and on. They were the ones who made these changes, and they're lifted up as scholars.
Right.
They didn't even know the Lord of the book.
Right.
Westcott didn't even believe in the bodily resurrection.
Right.
He disguised that very cleverly in his commentary on the book of John. But it's there. He didn't believe in some of the miracles either. They butchered up the text terribly, and many translations are translations from the wrong words. You must start with God's words. If you want purity in the end, you must start with purity. You can't start with corruption, a couple texts, and end up pure.
Right.
It's the responsibility of the local church to train and to educate. The fundamental churches and mission agencies should ask the missionary what kind of Bible he's going to use in the country before taking him for support. Knowing what Bible in the country is, knowing what Bible in that country is from the received text. The right question for the missionary is this Bible translation from the received text? That is absolutely heresy to say the scroll was not protected by heaven. God has always protected Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. Not only the message, false ideas, concept, truth, or teaching, this is right heresy to say that God has not protected and preserved his words. He warned them back then that perversion would eventually lead to the destruction of the accuracy of the authority of the Scripture. Job's plea for the preservation of his word is typologically the plea of Jesus Christ to preserve his words. Westenberg began that idea for the biblical text could not come unseen until after the 4th century. The Vatican Museum is filled with pagan idols. All over Rome, you see syncretism between paganism and Christianity.
Right.
There was a window that was open for a few months, and its land closed while we were there. Whatever was going to be done in Baghdad by American missionaries had to be done from the last shot of the Nation Conflict and February 14th when we were ambushed. That was the beginning of this present escalation in the war. All of your training and all of your education, and God bless you for using it for the Lord, if it was a dime, if it has not put his faith in the Word of God.
Right.
You men, for college presidents, as I am, you better be careful what you're allowing your students to read. They're going to take out some bad things with them. I have the right to go into the battle in all languages of the world. There is essentially no difference from the fallen sins. The Bible contains the Word of God, and God did not promise to preserve His Word. 3 minutes. We are fighting a real battle over this issue of the Word of God. These days, there has been a battle ever since the Garden of Eden when Satan said, "Yea, hath God said." There was one institution in the New Testament that's been told to do the teaching, but it's also been told to do the very serious task of guarding. Virtually all the modern translations are based upon the critical text. The critical text from its inception in the midst of antiquity to this hour is associated with the apostasy throughout its dark and crooked history. The language helps us understand our King James Bible better. This message that God has given to us is once delivered. And once it's delivered to the saints, it's for the saints to contend for the faith. This book isn't going to be given over again. A small deviation from the truth can lead one down the road of apostasy.
Right.
We must have the text of God's Word and God's very word, not simply what these men believe we have. That is, only the thoughts, the concepts, the ideas, and the message. God compared the benefits of honey for the body to the benefits of wisdom, the wisdom of His word to the soul. If the ancient writing of Scripture was inspired at the time of their writing, but are not available to us today through providential preservation, why fight for inspired Bible? An early date alone, therefore, does not guarantee the reliability, and by the same token, neither does a late date mean unreliability. It is possible that a very late manuscript, say 10th century, for instance, might have been copied directly from a 3rd century manuscript, therefore putting it right back to the place before where these men are dealing with, and therefore have what they call validity. There are 500 million Arabs in the world. It is the single most neglected people on the face of the earth. We have not taken the gospel. We have been afraid of since the Inquisition, and we have not effectively ministered to those people. They confuse the issue by constantly redefining concepts and terms.
Right.
There is no antithesis between the written word and the incarnate word. That means there is no absolute distinction. There is no difference between the Word of God written and the Word of God incarnate. We must systematically, this is a quote from the second president of the Fourth Theological Seminary, upon his inauguration, we must systematically incalculate into the thinking of our students an attitude of toleration for those who hold a heretical view. And that system of thinking is taking place in schools other than for schools to do right before,
right.
Way to right before. There is no such thing as field counsel in the Bible. Fundamental missionaries are supposed to give account to their independent Bible believing sending churches, not to the field council.
Right.
Selfishness is not the proper remedy, nor is the proper prescription for the dilemmas faced by man. The genuine cure for mankind is to stop resting the Scripture and start working in the scripture.
Yeah.
This can never be achieved by poking holes in it.